"You don't believe in this," Weinstein finally said in exasperation. "So give me half the 5%. Eisner agreed. Weinstein's contract specified that the brothers would each be paid 25% of any revenues Disney received without limitation. Still, Weinstein was seething. This wasn't the first time he felt Eisner had thwarted him. Eisner had rejected his cable deal. He wouldn't invest in the Broadway musical, The Producers, when Weinstein wanted to help out Mel Brooks. Weinstein put his own money in the show. He blocked a deal to buy One Times Square for Miramax headquarters. But this was a feature film that Weinstein desperately wanted to make. It didn't matter to him that Eisner was fully within his rights. Weinstein had had to grovel before Eisner, only to be turned down. Lloyd Braun, the 39-year-old president of Brillstein Gray Entertainment, was intrigued when he got a call from Joe Roth inviting him to breakfast to discuss Disney's troubled Touchstone TV studio. Brillstein Gray had thrived in the year since Ovitz left Disney, producing Just Shoot Me and News Radio for NBC, and the late night Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher for ABC. Braun, a lawyer and manager who numbered Cher and Seinfeld co-creator Larry David as clients, was probably best known as the character named Lloyd Braun, whom David kept writing into Seinfeld plots. Another one of Braun's clients was TV writer-producer David Chase. Braun had been trying to develop a new series with him for Brillstein Gray, but none of Chase's ideas seemed quite right. "I know you've got a great show in you," Braun persisted. While walking Chase out of the office after another disappointing pitch session, Braun said, "These ideas you're coming up with aren't coming from the heart. Bring me something controversial, different." "Like what?" Chase asked. "I don't know," Braun said, thinking for a moment. "You know, I've always wanted to do a modern-day Godfather. Set it in today's world. You know, a guy who lives with his kids and deals with everyday life, except he's in the mob." "That's interesting. Did you know I was Italian?" Chase asked. "No, but that's even better." 2 days later, Chase was back with a proposal for a series about a suburban New Jersey mob family set in the present. A family beset with all the problems of any other American family, as well as a dark, parallel existence in the mob. Despite the high concept, a modern-day Godfather, it wasn't an easy idea to sell. The three major networks passed on The Sopranos. On a long shot, Chase sent the treatment to Chris Albrecht at Home Box Office, the pay cable channel that was developing various series deemed too sophisticated for the networks. Albrecht wasn't sure if the script was edgy enough, but went ahead and ordered a pilot. When Roth called Braun, rumors of chaos at Disney's television studio were swirling. The marriage between the studio and the ABC network had been ill-fated. Although one of the driving forces of the acquisition was to provide an outlet for Disney-made programming, it was almost as though ABC, with Tarsus at the programming helm, went out of its way to reject Touchstone-made pilots. Those that did get on the air, like Hiller and Diller, were flops. The fate of Touchstone-produced Ellen was uncertain after its star, Ellen DeGeneres, came out on the show as a lesbian. ABC wants to forge our identity as a network